submission, all is at rest. I, my Savior, happy, blessed. I am watching. And I'm filled with His goodness, and I'm lost in His love. For
this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior.
Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Marson from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Natural Reaction of a Loving Heart. Today's message is based on Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16, and Matthew 25, 31 through 46. So let us begin with prayer. Lord God, when we struggle to worship You as Lord, show us again the beauty and power of Your rule. Teach us again that serving You is the path to true freedom. May Your Holy Spirit strengthen us today, leading us to honor and worship You more deeply, not only with the words we sing, but also with the lives we lead before Your face. Through Jesus Christ, our reigning Lord. Amen. So turn now in your Bibles to Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flocks on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on a high mountain of Israel, where they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. Binding up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and feed them in judgment. Our Old Testament lesson for the day is from the prophet Ezekiel, and this particular passage is very appropriate following Christ the King Sunday, for this passage proclaims in prophecy that God will send a good shepherd in place of all the bad shepherds that have ruled the people. Ezekiel was a prophet in Babylon at about the same time that Jeremiah was prophesying in Jerusalem. As Jerusalem was being destroyed and the people scattered, the message of Ezekiel was to be one of warning, exhorting, and comforting those exiled in a foreign land. This message is also very appropriate for us. Even though we live in our home area, we are today living in a period that most commentators refer to as post-Christian, as the culture has swung far away from anything resembling the kingdom of God on earth. It is as if we were living in a foreign country today. To fully understand today's passage, it helps to read verses 1 through 10 that precede today's message. Indeed, we should read the entirety of the book of Ezekiel up to this point. And Ezekiel is often known more for his strange visions of spinning wheels and fiery encounters with heavenly beings that many minimize what he has been sent to tell us. In chapter 34, 1 reads, "And the words of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." The word shepherd is used 26 times. It's implied many more times. It was a term or title that nearly all of the people at that time would recognize as someone who took care of the sheep. The shepherd stayed with the sheep, sleeping with them in all kinds of weather and often in very dangerous places. The shepherd found food and water for his sheep. The shepherd guided the sheep. The shepherd protected the sheep against wild animals and human predators. A good shepherd risked and sometimes gave his life for the welfare of the sheep. In the beginning of chapter 34, the shepherds referred to are the leaders of Israel, both political and religious, and we can easily see them in our leaders today. So what are the responsibilities of our leaders, both politically and religious? Could we sum it up very briefly as to take care of the people in their flock, their church, their legislative district? This is very simplistic, but actually says what the core or base responsibility really is. In politics, to make sure the people are represented as to their needs, rights, and liberties in the church, is to lead the people to Christ and to salvation. So much of what we hear from both sides is an attempt to lead us to some kind of opinion-based utopia that cannot be found in the Word of God for both and indeed all of life. The shepherds we have today are actually far worse than those who God, through Ezekiel, condemns. God does not have good things to say about the shepherds. They have been selfish, taking from the flock ruthlessly, not mending the injured or sick, allowing the sheep to become lost, all the things a shepherd should not do while seeing that they have what they want, they themselves. Now with today's selection, God changes the message, "For thus says the Lord God, indeed myself, I will search for my sheep and seek them out." Here God has had enough of the unfaithful shepherds who have abused, ignored, and misled the sheep, and he himself will take over the job. Part of this message is about restoring those sheep who have been scattered to the nations, a clear effort to comfort those in exile. Another contrast is about the cloudy and dark days that the sheep have been led into by inference, that God will bring light and sunshine to the sheep. The sheep will become well-fed and watered. In our day, the light that is missing from society in great part is the light of Jesus Christ, purposely hidden from those in great need or in fear. Many decline to share this light. And finally, in verse 16, "I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away and bind the broken and strengthen what is sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong." The sheep that needed care will be cared for, while the fat and the strong, those who fed on the sheep from verse 9, will be judged for their sin and selfishness and be punished. Can we see the contrast in what Ezekiel tells us in how the world sees life and how we are to live? God gave to the kings of Israel and Judah what was promised to them, but they abused God's gifts and wisdom for their own selfishness, to the distress and the destruction of God's people. They allowed their selfish interests and desires to lead them to abandon their sacred duty as shepherds of God's people. And how do we see our governments, local, state, and national, and how they behave toward us? The prophecy does not specifically name the Good Shepherd in these verses, but we can rest assured that the one who was to come to take care of the sheep in these verses was to be the very Son of God, known to us today as Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, the King of Kings. So turn now in your Bibles to Matthew 25, and we'll be reading verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be divided before Him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The King will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, you did not visit me. And they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now from our lesson in Matthew, we pick up the final parable in the series that has been recorded of Jesus' teaching. Some have called the Gospel of Matthew the Gospel of Judgment, for Matthew seems to focus on the coming kingdom, and with the coming of that kingdom, judgment is a very necessary element. This parable has also been noted as the clearest to understand of all the parables of Jesus. No hidden message that requires deep and thoughtful meanings. It's all very simple. And we begin with, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and the holy angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in glory. This is the last day. This is a day to come when Christ will make all things right with God, and it doesn't mean that all people will receive equally. This is a second coming many are looking forward to today. Throughout Scripture, this is a day of judgment, and this is that day. Do not allow yourselves to sink into ease with the false teachings that all will be saved, for this verse clearly points out there will be a separation. Then all the nations will be gathered before Him. And this would be shocking to the Jews, for Jesus included the Gentiles in this message. A Jew would naturally assume all Gentiles would be condemned and not even need to be judged. As for the Jews, they are all of Abraham. Of course, no matter how they live, they would count on being the chosen of God and get out of jail free. But Jesus continues, He will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Now, using a common agricultural element of sheep and goats may seem confusing to us who do not have to deal with these animals. Both were considered clean and usable to the people. Both were usually herded together, for they required much the same care. Sheep were the more profitable, but goats provide milk as well as their meat and hides. A family could harvest a goat without hurting the sale of their sheep, which would bring more income. Sheep were also more easily managed, while goats were contrary and difficult. Putting aside the physical differences of sheep and goats, how would we make this example in a spiritual sense? Both animals are indeed God's creation, and both are useful. Sheep behave and respond more as a shepherd desires, while goats seem to want to go their own way and do their own thing. You know anybody like that? As one who was chosen by Christ, are we expected to want to continue to do our own thing, or are we to conform to the Word of God and follow Jesus? Is our nature one of obedience and faith, or is it one of self-interest? So God will judge and separate based on our belief, faith, and obedience. And William Barclay says of this passage, God's judgment does not depend on the knowledge we have amassed, or the fame we have acquired, or the fortunes we have gained, but on the help we have given. The message in this parable focuses on how we respond to need of others. But don't misunderstand. Someone can give away a fortune to needy people and still stand condemned. The great sin of the world is that we pay way too much attention to outward actions and not focus on the heart. While this parable is very clear, it is still an example of how we are to live as Christians and is not a doctrine unto itself. When Barclay speaks of what we have given, do not fall into the trap that no matter what happens, you can buy your way out. We are called not just to spend money to help people, but to also give of ourselves. If we look to the very end of Matthew, Jesus gives us the Great Commission where we are to. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So buying someone a pair of shoes is important. But telling them of Jesus is far more desirable, not only to ease their life for a short time on earth, but to assure their salvation for an eternity is the far greater. Jesus has a disturbing end to this parable in that we are to expect that we cannot tell a needy person from the very person of Christ in our response to others. Who wouldn't help if we knew for certain it was Jesus? Are we to spend our time calculating how much to give and to whom we are to give? Now, certainly we need to be responsible stewards of our very limited resources. But do we live in order to be able to say to others what we have done? Do we save our good deeds in order to spend them when we get the most benefit? We must learn through faith to live in generosity without calculation, to really live out lives in faith. And the passage concludes with, "I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me." When we look back at the life of Jesus, who did he seem to focus on in his healing and care? Was it the wealthy and the mighty where he could get an earthly reward? Did Jesus spurn and ignore those in the greatest physical need, or did he embrace the lepers, the blind, the poor, the lowest of the low? Jesus did not tell us this parable to make some abstract example, but really it was the clear summary of how he actually and really lived during those 3 short years of his ministry. Jesus does not tell us this story as an example to all, but to recap how he lived and how we are to live if we truly desire to follow him into his glory. So we are now past Thanksgiving. We're looking forward to Christmas. The advent of Christmas is about much more than a baby in a manger. It's about a sovereign Christ. I encourage you this Advent, marking the kingship of Christ, makes a healthy transition that leads directly from ordinary time into Advent, the Christmas cycle, the remainder of the Christmas year. We've become far too focused on the Christmas celebration that we forgot who we are celebrating. That God chose to send his son as a baby and not as a royal figure, full grown on a white horse, should not surprise us, as we have a God who is deeply involved in life and in our life. Our God came to us and not from some remote entity. God came to us in earthly form that we can relate to his great love, peace, hope, and joy. As we wrap up this message, look into your hearts as to why we should take some time to consider all that Jesus has done for us. We are all pretty busy, and we will get even busier, but hopefully never too busy for Christ. Remember, Christmas begins with Christ. As we compare the false shepherds of Ezekiel to our own lives, do we have a correct direction plotted for whatever role we must play? Are we faithful to Jesus and live our lives as a natural reaction of a loving heart? Or do we try to allocate our time to where we can gain the most for ourselves? We may actually encounter Jesus at the mall this year or during our usual activities. So how will we treat him? How do we desire he will treat us? This Christmas, indeed, every day of every year, consider what you have done to bring another into the joy of knowing Christ. Who do you know and love, maybe met recently, and will choose to ignore them that they will be condemned to hell for an eternity? This Christmas, give not shoes, but eternal life. And this in the name of God, the Father, His loving Son, Jesus Christ, and the mission of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. All-powerful God, your only Son came to earth in the form of a slave and is now enthroned at your right hand where he rules in glory. As he reigns as King in our hearts, may we rejoice in his peace, glory in his justice, and live in his love. For with you and the Holy Spirit, he rules now and forever. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you miss a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
God, to the mighty. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. To tell the old story of Jesus and His love.